Blog Talk Radio.
Production.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. I am Mansoor Bey, the host of Ask Mansoor Bey, where I encourage people to know risk and no reward. Because when you manage well, you don't have to be a slave for money or an unfortunate circumstance. Well, today's broadcast, I'm going to talk about the ongoing financial miseducation that many of us are struggling to find an answer to. And what if I told you that 10, 20, or 40 years from now, your life would be exactly the same? Would you be happy? I doubt it. Who wants to be in the exact same place, the exact same circumstances for that long? I would venture to say that not too many people would be happy if everything remained exactly the same for 10 years or more. Yet, there are so many people who fear change so much that they challenge the very nature of the universe, that everything is in motion. Their avoidance of fear and change is so deeply ingrained that they hold tight to habits, principles, people, and religion, regardless of whether those things continue to serve them or not. I remember a story I heard some time ago, and I've heard many variations of it for many times since. A young wife who prepared ham every holiday would purchase a whole ham and cut each side of the ham off and then bake it, never really thinking too much about the process until one year her curious husband came in the kitchen. Now, this story is indicative of the problem that is occurring in America financially as well as other parts of the world. And it doesn't matter whether you come from a well-to-do family or not, whether you're black, white, brown, or yellow, more than likely you're still a product of being miseducated and falling victim to this ancient financial scheme. Well, the story goes as such. A young wife was in the kitchen preparing a holiday meal for her family. Then in comes her husband and notices her cutting off the ends of the ham. He immediately becomes curious, asking his wife, "Why are you cutting off the ends of the ham?" The wife replies, "I really don't know, but my mother always did." The husband says, "Okay, I need to find out why you're cutting off the ends of the ham before baking it. It's so important." And the wife replies, "Call my mother. She should be able to tell you why." So the husband picks up the phone, calls his mother-in-law and asks, "Mom, I'm calling you because your daughter said you could clear up a question I had about her preparing the ham the way she does. I would like to know the importance of cutting off the ends of the ham before baking it." His mother-in-law replies, "I really don't know. It's how Nana always did it. You will have to ask her if you want to know the answer to that riddle." The son-in-law says, "Okay," then dials up Nana and says, "Hi, Nana. This is your granddaughter's husband, and I hope you can clear up a question I have about your granddaughter and daughter's way of preparing a ham. And neither of them could answer my question, and I would like to know the importance of cutting off the ends of the ham before baking it." Nana chuckles, then says, "Dear, I'm shocked by your question because I'm amazed to hear that my daughter and granddaughter are still preparing their ham that way. And I should be able to clear up your question. In my earlier times when preparing the ham, I used to cut off the ends because the pan I was using at the time was too small." Now, did you hear what I just said? She said the pan was too small. This is a classic story on when you hold on to your traditions too long, you end up choking it. Now, if you can understand the moral of this story, you would immediately know why so many individuals and families have been struggling for generations and generations, repeating the same old cycles in many areas of their life, like the food they eat, how they cook their foods, how they communicate with others, expressions, behaviors, parenting, relationships, and a long list of other habits, and not to mention their level of financial literacy. Now, the moral of the story is about cultural training, which is when one generation teaches another a process, or where one person is tasked with passing down knowledge to another person. So much of what we do in our life is done without much thought, or sometimes even knowledge of how the habit began. I challenge you to change this pattern. I challenge you to begin to really focus on your financial education and other habits you choose in your life and in your business. Are you repeating behaviors that you really don't even understand? Are there behaviors or habits you could eliminate, or those you can switch to something more valuable or productive? I am not suggesting you change everything. Changing too much too soon can lead to failure. For the sake of your financial independence, consider how your life has been up to this point. Think about how your life would be if you had the financial independence and nobody could control or persuade how you think and act. If you were born in this world to parents that had financial literacy like the super rich and banks, how far in your finances would you be today? You would have to make a few changes that serve your life. Small successes contribute to larger successes. The next thing is to create a process of new habits you can repeat throughout the year and years. It's the best way to be sure that in 10 years and throughout your life, you would not only be the same, but notably better. Managing your finances better, one change at a time, can make a world of difference for yourself, your family, and for several generations thereafter. I can tell you now that if you're taking out a loan or credit to purchase a home, vehicle, or other luxury items, then chances are you have been miseducated and not taught the three immutable financial principles. And just like the husband in the story needed to go to three different people just to get a logical explanation, it will continue to be that same way for you unless you change. You can take charge of your life or future today, not only for you, but for your loved ones and the generations not here yet, because it's our responsibility to protect our family. And before you can protect your house, your car, and your health, and whatever else, you better protect yourself from financial loss first. And the only way to do that is with a properly structured asset protection. So continue to lose financial. Lottery winners go broke within a few years, and you should already know the answer why. financial miseducation. Let me share another story. There was an extremely wealthy millionaire who was one of the founding members of a prestigious Pennsylvania college university, and the university invited the millionaire founding member's family to their 100th year anniversary. Much to the university's amazement, mostly every one of the family members who attended the celebration were not even close to being wealthy like their great-grandfather. And why do you think that was? One of two things either happened or both. Either the wealthy millionaire didn't teach his family lasting financial principles, or someone in the lineage dropped the ball by tasking or taking for granted or not giving a damn about his financial success. Remember this, we all will be given an inheritance as well as being positioned to pass on an inheritance. And that inheritance will be one of two factors, either one of wealth or one of struggle. Think about your last immediate family member who passed away. Did they leave you with a couple $100,000 inheritance, or did they do a Mamba out, leaving you with a pile of bills, where the family members have to resort to asking for financial assistance, like setting up a GoFundMe account? Now, if you had a chance to listen to my last broadcast on how the Shatara effect caused generational debt for millions, then you know that your long-term decisions can make or break a family and for generations, especially if you get a family member who are content on cutting off the ends of the ham without asking questions. You can spend the whole life wondering and repeating a never-ending cycle. Now, if you never take the time to figure out what the root cause of something is, or for anything that you have a strong desire to know, mostly when we ask our elder statesmen of the family or our parents, they normally respond with some Band-aid answer or cliche that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And in most cases, we accept that false truth. But it is our responsibility to make sure that we take it a step further and research those deep desires until we find, at the least, a satisfactory answer for it. All right. Now, have you ever heard of the golden rule? Those who have the gold makes the rules. Well, I want to read an important piece by Jackson Pemberton titled A New Message on the Constitution. It reads, in spite of all our careful effort, we knew that it was not sufficient to merely launch the ship of state correctly. It needed to be tended by an alert, informed, and jealous citizenry. But history, like nature, travels in cycles. Both liberty and oppression contain the seeds of their own destruction. Our success has brought the security which put you to sleep. Pemberton further states, now basking in the dim and brilliance of the lights of liberty, you have been neither vigilant nor informed, and only recently have you begun to realize the correctness of your rising jealousy for your rights. Let those feelings of jealousy well up within you and cause you to alert yourselves to your true condition. Your executives have taken upon themselves to form foreign alliances and make domestic regulations without proper authority. They have violated your most fundamental law. Your judiciary has ignored the amending process and altered the meaning and intent of the Constitution they were sworn to defend. They have betrayed your most fundamental law. Your Congress has been watchful, yet not of the encroachments of the other two branches, but for opportunity to gain influence by purchasing your favor with your own money. They have ignored your most fundamental law, and you seek for a remedy while it stares you in the face. You have lost the vision of your most fundamental law. Now, let me show you. You call the Charter the Constitution of the United States, and that simple phrase contains both the totality of your plight and the seeds of your salvation. For in those six words, you reveal your feeling that both you and your law are subject to your government. You are not the slave of government at all, but because you think so, you may as well be. Nay, the Constitution is your servant and the master of your government. It is not the Constitution of the United States. It is the Constitution of the people and for the United States. Now, it is not only the law by which you are governed, it is the law by which you may govern your government. It is not the law by which high-handed politicians may impose their collective will upon you. It is for you to impose it upon them. It does not belong to the government, it belongs to you. It is yours. It is yours to enforce upon the government. It is yours to read to those self-wise do-gooders. And if you will hold it high in your hand, they will quell and flee before it like the cowardly knaves they are. Why, those who are your true friends will rejoice in your new commitment. Basically, what Jackson Pemberton meant was that most people know there is a game going on out in the world, but they don't understand it. Worse than that, they can't get the players in the game straight. Or let me say it this way, like Shakespeare, all the world is a stage and all the people on it are just actors. And people just don't play their proper role in the scheme of things. They have abdicated their opportunity or responsibility as it pertains to the banking function in this economy. They are depending on someone else to perform that job, and the player in the game is making most of the money, and rightfully so, because of the golden rule. Those who have the gold make the rules. It can be no other way. If you don't believe me, ask any professional athlete that's been forced out of their league or any employee let go from their job. And to further make my point, there is the prevailing tendency in this current crop of Americans to look to government for solutions to what they think is a problem that is outside themselves, saying things like, I don't have any money to buy a home, to go to college, to buy food, to endure an emergency, to care for my health, to take care of my children, to maintain the lifestyle that I desire, and everything else. There should be some sort of government program to provide these things for me. I have a right to them. And the reason they feel that way is because they have no financial literacy. Then our bureaucrats, elected officials, teachers in government schools, some members of the clergy, PACs or political action committees, media people, and the list goes on, foster this kind of thinking at every turn. It is a national disease, and to survive in the future, this disease must be overcome. It's impossible for the majority to think and succeed, and succumbing to these feelings produces a huge burden on your financial future because the price must be paid, and you will always be at the mercy of the ones who have the gold, especially if you don't change your thinking and the way you currently manage money. This is why it is important for you to understand financial literacy and the proper way of managing money, because if you're borrowing money, paying on loans, using credit, using brokers, and participating in unsecured investment products, then you'll continue to be ruled by the ones who have the gold. And what affects the status quo? Affects us all, whether we smell the coffee or not, because the common everyday person has become so infatuated with living for today that the importance of saving, of creating capital, is all but a lost value. And as a result, someone else must provide the capital that is necessary to sustain our way of life. This strategy carries with it a very high cost, and we all suffer the consequences, as it all begins with faulty premises. Now, let me build the case this way. What could be more picture perfect than a marriage of Japanese capital and Mexican labor? Here we have one group of people who need employment in the worst way, and there is another group that has more money than you can imagine. If we can only get them together on a project, it would be paradise. Now, in the early 90s, Panasonic wanted to build a plant in Mexico to solve the obvious equation. But in the infinite wisdom of the Mexican government at the time, if you wanted to establish such a business there, they required that Mexicans should own 51% of the business. That means that Mexicans controlled the business. The typical Japanese strategy runs something like this. You put money into a business, you should expect to lose money for 5 years. When you start making money, then you should plow it back into the business for 5 more years. Only after this time should you expect to take money out of the business, but the typical Mexican outlook on business venture is to demand a bonus at the very start, like a signing bonus for a star athlete. And I don't have to tell you what happened, right? Panasonic pulled out of Mexico and went somewhere else where capital is appreciated and managed with care. Now, who won and who lost in this story? Panasonic had the gold, and so they made the rules. It could be no other way. And you may or may not be old enough to know, but back in the 80s, the Japanese went on a buying spree, buying up auto manufacturing companies, steel mills, technology companies, more. And everyone was convinced they were going to buy up America. But how could that be possible in the first place when the Japanese country was practically decimated by the atom bomb some 40 years earlier? Now, What did they do to get to that kind of position of prominence when they could invest billions in buyouts of American companies? Would you like to know how they did it? Simply, his name was William Edwards Deming, a business consultant who launched the total quality management movement using 14 key principles. He was the person who taught the Japanese the idea of quality and how to use life insurance as a way of creating their own financing, self-insuring their valued assets, compounding their profits, building up their Japanese corporations, and passing on a legacy to their heirs. Now, the business schools all over our country fell in love with this teaching after the Japanese showed the world the results. But shortly after World War II, Ed started trying to get the attention of American businesses and teach them his ideas. Almost without exception, Ed ran into the response, "But we are already doing that." No, they were not already doing that. They were only taking a superficial look at what Ed was saying and jumping to the conclusion that they already understood all ramifications of Ed's concept. And so Ed turned to Japan with an economy that was non-existent. They were flat on their backs, and he found a culture that already knew discipline and was willing to listen and to do what he said. The rest is history, and American manufacturers paid the price for their arrogance. And when Ed came back to America much later, he was accepted as being a genius. Many business schools in America now sing the praises of Ed Deming. And hopefully you can see from the stories I've shared on why financial miseducation is one of the biggest issues that plague our society. When it comes to how Americans are handling their finances, the numbers are concerning. Here are some financial statistics. 27 million Americans put their medical bills on credit cards, paying over $12 billion in interest alone. It's no wonder why 72% of Americans who file for bankruptcy is due to medical bills while having insurance. Now, the average U.S. household with revolving credit card debt carried a balance of $6,081 as of June 2017. Now, with an average interest rate of 14.87%, and that balance would incur $904 in interest per year. And it doesn't help that 50 to 60% of the U.S. households have under $1,000 in savings. So every one out of five households would struggle to scrounge up $1,000 in an emergency, and 25 to 30% have less than $5,880 in savings. And the average health insurance deductible is over $7,000. You don't have to guess how that medical emergency situation will end up. And the future of this country, which are our young and bright minds, only 24% of the millennials demonstrate basic financial literacy. So if they don't recognize what errors they're making, how can they be expected to get better at it? And among the adults who have combined finances in current or previous relationships, 2 out of 5 fess up to spending money without their partner or spouse's knowledge. No wonder so many couples don't get above water and divorce or separate because of a lack of trust or financial education. And about 77 million Americans, or 35% of adults with a credit file, have debt and collections reported in their credit files. By not paying your bills on time is a double whammy, because it costs you in interest and fees, dings your credit score, and making consumer debt more expensive for you in the future. Just 46% of Americans have a rainy day fund or stuff that may or may not occur. And this is key to weathering financial downturns such as job loss, funding unexpected expenses like buying new tires, and paying health care bills. And the number of consumers age 60 and older with student loan debt has quadrupled over the last decade, mainly because parents overborrowed for their child's education, ended up putting them in a dicey situation. Not only do they have fewer federal repayment options than their children, but good old mom and dad didn't get the income boost from that college degree that they funded, and mom and dad is much more closer to retirement. And it's also no wonder that almost half of the student loan holders and college graduates express concerns about their ability to pay off their student debt. Nearly one-third of Americans pay the minimum due on their credit card each month, and paying just the minimum on your credit card balances mean pay more in interest. And the average household with credit card debt pays a total of $1,292 in credit card interest per year, and carrying a balance could potentially ding your credit score for maintaining a high utilization rate. And last, when people have a hard time making their payments, paying off their debts, or maintaining their lifestyles, they may have a tendency to resort to picking up unfavorable work or doing money schemes like pandering, illegal drug selling, fraud, theft, bribery, extortion, and embezzlement, as well as tax evasion and even murder. And did you know that 90% of the crimes committed in the U.S. are money related? That's 90%. Now, these statistics not only show there is an epidemic with financial literacy, but the knowledge of using the proper financial products and protecting, growing, and transferring your savings and assets is even more appalling. And certainly, no one wants to be a part of those financial statistics, but unfortunately, many are, and a person and family could solve all their financial problems for the long haul by building an asset protection portfolio and self-banking system. When it comes to specialized insurance policies, you can compound your savings better than any money market account, CDs, 401ks, Roths, pensions could ever do. Why? Because you get a guaranteed return. It's 100% insured. It grows tax deferred to give you control on paying taxes on your gains. You have liquidity use and access to it without it being locked up for a long period of time. You're guaranteed to get a retirement income, and it's tax-free income. It's sustainable for life. It's judgment and creditor proof if someone tries to sue you or collection agencies try to come after you. It will continue to make your monthly savings and investment amounts if you're disabled and not able to work. And oh yeah, you can leave a tax-free legacy to your loved ones. Wouldn't you like to transfer an inheritance of a couple of hundred thousand or even a million or more to the people that you care about? And lastly, you will have the ability to bank off your own money, which simply means that you will have the ability to collateralize your assets and let that money grow while giving you the option of taking a loan out against it and finance what you need to purchase in-house instead of going through a banking or financial entity where they may give you a credit check to access funds, and they certainly won't share any of the profits with you. Now, you'll be able to turn your entire financial situation around for the better, which can prevent you and your loved ones from being in the same place for the next 10, 20, or 40 years or more. Now, if you would like to position yourself as the man or woman with the gold, build up your financial empire like the Japanese, and stop cutting off the ends of your ham, then contact me at www.mansourbey.com. That's MansourBey.com. Or either through one of my social media sites like Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram under my moniker, Ask Mansour Bey. And that's AskMansourBey. Or by phone at area code 305, number 964-8858, and that's 305-964-8858 during normal business hours, Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'll basically give you a free consultation and risk assessment to determine the best plan of action for you, your family, and business, putting you on your way to building an asset protection portfolio, one or several policies at a time. Now, this goes without explanation. I know some people are inundated or swamped with trying to balance their life and finances between a job, family, children, even school or other commitments. So I have an opportunity for you to plug into what's called the 140 Club that'll help you build a six-figure income in 1 to 3 years, allowing you to cash checks on three income streams along the way that pays out daily, monthly, and bonuses. That way, in the beginning, you can focus on what you do best while your income is and your insurance benefits are growing at the same time. Now, with that said, I'm out of time. I want to thank everyone that is listening to this broadcast, and I hope I was able to help you understand the importance of financial miseducation and how you can impact your legacy. Now, if you're willing to expand your learning and break old habits, then keep joining me weekly on Fridays. Also, please make a commitment or a comment, or feel free to ask a question about today's broadcast in the comment section. Also, if you're listening to this live, then the podcast will be available for replay shortly to use at your discretion. And again, thank you and God bless.